This morning is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 3, 8 to 12, and 17 to 19. And it's all about faith, faith in action. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. This is the word of God.
My name's Nigel Stowe. I'm just going to lower this. My inside leg's a little shorter than Paul's. There we go. I want us this morning to think about your legacy. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to blow the dust off your will just yet. But I want us to reflect on Abraham's legacy of faith, and how he put his faith into action. And I want us to ask if we are creating a legacy, and if we are putting our faith into action. It's said that in the second term, an American president's thoughts often turn to what the historians are going to write about him. What did he do? What did he achieve? He's starting to think about his legacy. And I wonder what you want people to think about you when you've gone. What do you want your children to tell your grandchildren about you? What do you want your grandchildren to tell your great-grandchildren about you? Our lives speak to each other, and in so doing, we all leave a legacy. It's a legacy of what we're like, a legacy of the example we set, a legacy of what we teach our children, a legacy of what our values are, a legacy of what we stand for. If you look around this building, there are plaques on the wall. And also, if you go outside, you'll notice headstones with epitaphs engraved on them. And it gives you a glimpse of the legacy of some of the people who've lived in this community and worshipped in this church. As you go out of the west door and turn left, the first gravestone you come to is a gravestone of Florence Biggs. Now, she was the postmistress of Downend, and on it is the inscription, "The Lord is my light." Now, she wouldn't have written that herself. Somebody else would have inscribed that because they would have known her life, and to them that summed up her legacy to them. Abraham's legacy takes the biggest slice of Hebrews chapter 11, and this chapter is the chapter about the heroes of faith. And what we're doing is we're talking about Abraham some 4,000 years after he died. That's a legacy. And we're talking about him because of his unshakable trust in God. He believed in God, plain and simple. He believed him, and he acted upon it. And God had made a covenant with Abraham, and he said that through your son, I will bless you, and I will bless many nations. One problem was, Abraham didn't have a son. And he was 90 years old. But God fulfilled his promise to Abraham, and Sarah gave birth to a son, Isaac. And when Isaac had grown up and was probably in his 20s, God tested Abraham. And he said to Abraham, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice, kill, your only son, the one through whom I've promised to bless you." And the Bible records this. It says that immediately Abraham set off to obey God. Immediately he set off to obey God. And you probably remember the story of how they went up onto the mountain and the wood was put there and Abraham lifted the knife to kill his own son Isaac. And God called out and stopped that. And Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide." That was Abraham's legacy. He trusted God, and he knew God to be the provider. And we talk about Abraham today because Abraham shows us what faith looks like in action. He proved God, and he trusted in God in all circumstances. So that's Abraham's legacy. A legacy of faith, a legacy of trust in God, and a testimony that God is our provider. And interestingly, that is one of the names that the Old Testament gives to God. It gives God lots of different names which explain God's character, and one of them is Jehovah Jireh. It means God is my provider. So that's Abraham's legacy. What of our legacy? What will people say about our lives when we're gone? And what will people say about us when our faith is tested? One of the most severe tests that we face is the test of death. Maybe the test of our death, or the test of the death of someone close to us. We never know what tomorrow will bring. When I got up on the 30th of March, 1979, I had no idea that that day I would be caught up in the IRA bombings in Parliament Square, which killed Erin Eve. On the 7th of July 2005, when I got up in the morning, I had no idea that that day I would be caught up in all the goings-on in central London when I was in Baker Street, all the 7/7 bombings of which so many people died. We don't know when our faith will be tested. But I remember clearly when I sat with an elderly friend of mine in her last few hours as she lay lying in a hospital bed in Surrey. And Belinda and I were with her, and we said to her, "Can we read something to you from the scriptures?" And with a glint in her eye, she looked at us and said, "Yes, please. Please read Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." That may have been the last conversation she ever held. Those may even have been her last words. But what do you think that said to me about that person, about her legacy, about her faith in God? In recent days, we've seen that in a Bible study in Emmanuel Church in Charleston, a man drew out a gun and shot many members of the congregation and injured many others. And one of those who was there, and one of those whose daughter was killed, a lady by the name of Felicia Sanders, said in court to the perpetrator these words. She said, "Every fibre in my body hurts. I will never be the same again. I will never be able to hold her again. But today I forgive you." Powerful words. What do those words say about her faith? What do those words say about her legacy? What do those words say about her God? Over the last month, we've been undertaking 30 days of prayer. And in so doing, we've been creating a legacy. We've been declaring two truths. We've been declaring that we trust in God, and we've been declaring that God is our provider. And we've been asking God to provide for us the resources we need to undertake his mission here in this community. And we've been doing something which looks incredibly foolish to many people. We've just been praying. And we've been saying, "Lord, we believe you are our provider." I wonder how you respond to this. Perhaps it's not really your thing. Perhaps you've dismissed it. But the Apostle James says this. He says, "You do not have because you do not ask. If we ask nothing from God, then we say, well, we need nothing from God." Or perhaps as we've been praying together, you've really embraced this opportunity to come daily before God in prayer. And you are convinced that God is our provider. And you believe him when he says, "Without me, you can do nothing." So that time of prayer together has been creating a legacy. And will our legacy be this? Will our legacy to future generations be that we here believed God? Will we have a testimony that God was our provider? Will we, like Abraham, walk in faith and in prayer, step by step into the future, holding on to God's promises? Humble, believing people leave a great mark. You only need to look at a street plan of Bristol and see down in the centre of town Muller Road. Many of you will know the name George Muller. In the 19th century, in the name of Jesus, he provided home for more than 10,000 orphans in this city. And he didn't have a penny. And he never asked anybody for a single penny. All he did was ask God. He, like Abraham, believed God and proved God to be trustworthy. And part of our learning to live the life is learning to be dependent on God ourselves, learning to ask, and learning to expect God to do the miraculous. Do you remember that scene in the New Testament in Matthew 14, when the apostles are out on the Lake of Galilee in a boat, and it's night, and it's windy and stormy, and it's dark? And they see what they think of as a ghost coming towards them across the water, and they're terrified. And actually, it's Jesus. And when Peter recognizes that it's Jesus, Peter says an incredible thing. He says, "Jesus, will you allow me to get out of this boat and walk on this water to you?" That's not easy. Let's be honest, that's impossible. But that is faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did. And just as George Muller did the impossible with no money, but trusting in God, simply by prayer and dependence. And that's what God is calling us to be, that type of people. God wants us to rely on him. He wants us to know that he is trustworthy. He wants to show us just how faithful he is. He wants to do abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. I wonder if we ask ourselves, is that the sort of church we want to belong to? Is that the sort of people we want to be? Is that the sort of lives we want to lead? We should just take God at his word. And as Abraham did, unfalteringly trust him. And like Peter, we must be prepared to take those seemingly impossible steps, trusting implicitly in Jesus. It's what God wants us to do. He wants to provide for us as a father. He wants to reassure us that we're safe in his hands. He wants to demonstrate to a lost world that he is loving. That can be our legacy. That is God at work in our lives. That's something that makes people sit up and take notice. That's a faith that actually points people to Jesus. That's a life that family and friends will talk about in generations to come. Stepping out of the boat, it's not easy. Walking into the unknown is difficult. But hand in hand with Jesus, he will prove trustworthy. And we can trust him for today and for tomorrow and for eternity. So what will they say about us when we're gone? What will they say about us in years to come? Will they say that we, in this generation, walked by faith? Will they say that God provided for them every step of the way? What will they put on our headstones? Would they put that word, Jehovah Jireh, God was my provider? And will there be a great crowd of witnesses in years to come who will testify, and as these plaques do around these walls, they will say, you had absolute faith in Jesus and your life proved it. Will they say, God has proved faithful and we saw it in your life? That will be some legacy. That will bring glory to the name of Jesus. And when everything else has been consumed and burned up, that will stand eternally as a testimony to the grace and the faithfulness of God. May that be our legacy, individually and as the Church of God here in Downend. Let's pray together. Father, as generations give way to generations, and one day follows another, and each day we take another step nearer to eternal glory, Father, we pray that our lives will demonstrate the reality of these truths, the truth that we believe that you are a faithful God, that you can be trusted. May we ask of you in faith for only those things that you can do. And may our legacy be the same as Abraham's legacy, that we find you to be our faithful God and our provider. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.